Howdy, hey everyone! Thank you so much for joining us on another exciting episode of The Training Tales. We have a great guest ahead to talk about some of the most misunderstood predators that walk this planet. Hopefully this episode can help change that perspective a bit and connect you closer with alligators and crocodiles. I know it may be tough, but sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Hey everyone, my name is Charlie and I'm your host for this episode of The Training Tales. Today's episode is all about another two of the top predators around the world, and guess what it's like working with such impressive animals. For that, we're going to turn to my new friend and our guest on today's episode, Nelly Rivera. Nelly, thank you so much for joining me today, and I'm very happy you're here.
Hey everyone, I'm happy to be here.
Awesome, awesome. So let's go ahead and start off with your intro. Who are you? What animals do you work with? What do you do? How'd you get your start with these animals? That kind of thing.
Okay. My name is Nelly. I work in the Keys at a marine animal facility. I run the fish and reptile department. I'm originally from Daytona Beach, Florida. I studied marine biology. And it's funny because growing up around ocean life and going to SeaWorld all the time, I always wanted to be a dolphin trainer. So that's what led me to Theater of the Sea during the internship program. And I started in the fish and reptile department where I just fell in love with the crocodilians, and I'm still there 12 years later.
Wow. 12 years. Mm-hmm. So you got hired on after your internship with them?
Yes. I was lucky enough that there was a job available when my internship was ending.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure you get asked this next question a lot, but hey, that's why this podcast is here. But how do you tell the difference between a gator and a crocodile?
Oh, I do that. I get that question a lot. first of all, it really depends on where you are. So if you're in Florida, we have the American crocodile down in South Florida, and then we have the American alligator in all around Florida. So the crocodile's lighter in color. They're going to be like a tannish, yellowish, brownish color. And alligators are very dark. It's funny because they're actually mistaken for green, but they're actually black in color once they reach full maturity.
Really?
And yeah. And the main way you can tell them apart is by their snout. So the crocodile has like a narrow V-shaped snout, and the alligator has a more rounded snout.
Very cool. And isn't there some sort of stipulation with like their teeth? Like the teeth being on the outside?
Yeah, the crocodile, when their mouth is closed, you can see both entire rows of teeth. And when the alligator's mouth is closed, you can typically only see the top row of teeth. But with bigger alligators, especially males, you can typically see some bottom teeth as well.
Oh. All right. So you have to be real close to look for the teeth.
Which a lot of people don't want to get very close.
No. Well, when you're working with them, is there a difference between the two species?
You know, it really depends on the animal. They all have such different personalities. They're all very fun to work with. They're different to work with. So I work with two American alligators and one American crocodile. And It just seems, at least the ones I work with, the alligators are lots smarter. They just seem to catch on to things more quickly, and they seem to retain behaviors a little bit longer. Like, you can train them something like walking into a crate. You can not ask for it for whatever reason. They usually typically tend to break down in the winter because when it gets cold, they don't have much of an appetite. They get their energy from the sun. So when there's not very much sun out, they kind of just go into dormant mode. So If that goes on for 3 months and then spring comes and you want to ask them to go into a crate, the alligators seem to remember better, and the crocodile, we seem to have to train it all over again.
I gotcha. So you really can't do a whole lot during the winter time?
No, not usually, because they don't eat, they're cold-blooded. So
yeah.
Down in the Keys though, we don't always get very cold winters. So for the most part, they remain pretty active during the winter season.
That's kind of cool. I never would have thought about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you have to have a lot of patience to work with them and train them.
I guess so. Well, okay. For the two gators and the crocodile that you do have there, how do you guys go about obtaining those?
So they're actually rescued. Allie, our American alligator, who is a female, she was raised in a t-shirt shop down here on our island in Isla Morada. And she was fed junk food like hot dogs, potato chips. People would pay a dollar to go in and see her and feed her. And
Oh.
a lot of people think they can just eat whatever, but that's not true. They can develop digestion issues. So what happened with Allie, where she developed those digestion issues that she still has to this day. And
Oh.
she also got too big to be in that t-shirt shop, so they had to rehome her. And you can't send them back to the wild because they get too used to humans and lose their natural fear. For
Yeah.
other alligator, Piper, he's our male American alligator. He was actually rescued from an undesirable home all the way out in Colorado, where you typically don't see them. So he was raised in somebody's bathtub as their pet, and he was actually rescued by Animal Planet, Kevin Fitzgerald, and brought
What?
him to us. Yep. So he's kind of a superstar.
That's so cool. I mean, not good that he was being kept in a bathtub in Colorado, but
And then Igor is our American crocodile, and he was struck by an airboat out in the Everglades and had to be rehabilitated. And he had to be rehabbed so long that he got too used to humans and needed to be kept in human care, otherwise deemed non-releasable.
okay, so when you get an alligator or crocodile in, when you start from square one, where do you even begin training an alligator?
So, I'm actually the one that started the training at Theater of the Sea with our crocodilians. And I started myself by just building a relationship because the first one I started working with was Allie. And I just really fell in love with her since the day I saw her. And I would just go over on my spare time and just, sit with her and have my lunch over there and do my records. So in doing that, I really started to build a relationship with her and got to know her really well. So now that I'm training other people to work with them, I kind of just go through that same process where I have them spend time with them, build a relationship, build the trust, get to know them, and then eventually start feeding them, setting up the reinforcement history, and from there, just eventually asking for minimal behaviors to bigger behaviors.
Wow. So was it weird going from, completely protected contact to, semi-protected to free contact?
Not really, because like I said, I've been there 12 years and I just recently started doing the free contact about maybe a little over a year ago. And within that time, my relationship with the crocodilians I work with really continued to just grow and grow. And we really got to know each other. So it was really not much of a difference. They didn't seem to even know I was on the other side of the fence with them.
I guess it's not too different. I mean, you still worked with them and everything, and trained them before free contact.
Right, yes.
Awesome. Well, when you are training them, what kind of reinforcers do you use? Are they mostly like food motivated, or do you have secondary reinforcers that they like as well?
We have secondary reinforcers, so we actually use Jell-O or non-fat sugar-free gelatin for most of our training sessions with them because we only feed them 2 or 3 times throughout the week, because out in the wild, they actually only eat a couple times per month. It really depends on the size of their catch. So if they catch something really big, they can go a month to 3 months without eating anything again. So
Wow.
you have to be really careful with what you feed them because they can get overweight quickly and they can lose interest. So the reason we started using the gelatin is so that we can do several training sessions throughout the day. I mean, imagine what you can get done if you only fed them, if you only did one training session per week. You wouldn't get anything done with them.
Nothing.
Right. Yeah. And we use secondaries. So they like drinks of water, or they like being sprayed with water. So we're able to use a drink of water from the hose or just, spraying water over them as a secondary reinforcer.
Very cool. Yeah, I'm sure the gelatin serves as a good hydration tool as well.
Yes,
Just getting some
very.
of that extra water.
Yeah, I get the question a lot, why do they like it? And honestly, I don't know why they like it. They can't tell me why, but they're not spitting it out. And if I were to guess, I would say they like the consistency, or sometimes I really feel like they just like the attention and getting the training sessions over the actual, substance.
Right. Like they know it's reinforcement. And so they're like, all right, well,
Yeah.
whatever.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So as with any species, it's important to get to know your animal as an individual and as a species, but also for them to get to know you. How would you build a relationship with a gator? I know you kind of touched on it a little bit, but I know when we met in person when I was down in the Keys, you specifically talked about one form of enrichment that I found absolutely fascinating with the bubbles. You want to talk about that a little?
Yeah, so first of all, like I said before, they're all different, so you really have to just kind of try different things out and find out what they find reinforcing. So we have one that loves drinks of water from the hose. That's Allie. She'll sit there for 20 minutes and drink water from you. Others will drink for a little bit and then they'll turn or close their mouths and just stop drinking. Our crocodile just likes being sprayed on the back or being brushed with a scrub brush. And we find out that our alligator Piper likes the bubbles. And he is a male, which is funny because it's actually a mating ritual. Male alligators will blow bubbles to attract females. So
Really?
I think it has something more to do with that. It kind of brings out more of their natural instincts. And that may be why Piper likes it, but we don't exactly know for sure. He just seems
Right.
to really enjoy it. He likes
That's
throwing his head around and catching the bubbles going over the water.
so funny. I would love to see that sometime. I also know that you said he loves a giant pickle floaty,
Yes, it
right?
is his favorite toy. He thinks it's his girlfriend, so we've heard him bellowing at it, which is another mating ritual that's very common in alligators. If we go in their first session, we just kind of push it out of the way. He'll rumble at it, which is also a mating ritual. So we're pretty sure he thinks it's his girlfriend.
How cute. It's
Yeah.
just a giant pickle.
Yeah. Yep.
Awesome. Well, we're going to go ahead and take a real quick break for our sponsors. And when we come back, we'll have a couple more questions for you.
Alrighty.
Okay, so both alligators and crocodiles are known for their intimidating smiles, which throws out the stereotypical showing of their teeth precursor in most species. So, what kind of precursors would you say you look for with the alligators and the crocodiles?
So it really, again, like I said, with other questions, depends on the individual animal. First of all, for doing free contact sessions with them, they're apex predators. So we're very careful with what we do. And we only have very experienced trainers who have built up their relationship and reinforcement history and gotten to know them very well, that are even doing the free contact work with them. So some precursors I've noticed over the years is they'll tell you right away as soon as you start the session. If they don't want to come over, they'll kind of be more slow to come over, or they'll turn away from you. They'll be more slow to respond to the recall. So there are definitely times where we try to call them and we can tell they're not going to come over. So we'll just walk away, give them a break, and come back and try again later. They're not forced to do anything they don't want to. So we never try to push them. They always have the choice to come over for a show or a training session or a program, which we do interactive programs with them with the public. So, yeah, I think that because of all those safety protocols, we don't really give them the chance to give us aggressive precursors. But of course, they're still there. They're just harder to see with the crocodilians. But some I've noticed is they'll start to back away first. They'll start to become distracted, or one big teller is their eyes will start to get big.
Very cool.
Yeah.
You just really have to know the animal first.
Yes, really. And I know that's with all animals and all training, but I feel like with crocodilians, you really have to know the animal.
Right. Yeah, definitely. Well, since they are both considered apex predators, what kinds of protocol do you have when you like start working with them?
So first of all, we always have two trainers present for sessions, just so we can watch each other's back and watch out for the animal. If one trainer looks away from the animal at one point, the other trainer is always watching. We also use safety tools, like we carry a bamboo stick with us, and it really just works as a deterrent. So if we had it in between ourselves and the animal, and the animal were to turn towards us, they would make contact with the stick. And their initial reaction would be to just turn back the other way. So the media has led people to believe that these animals are huge fighters, but they're not. They're much more lazy than you think. So whenever there's a fight, they normally firstly avoid the fight before they push. Another thing we use as a safety device is when we are feeding free contact, we use a bigger cooler that we station between ourselves and the animal. And it kind of works as a shield. So if they were to come towards us too fast, they would just hit the bucket, and then they would just, again, same thing with the stick, they would just back up. We do follow very strict safety protocols when we're in there with them. And even when we're not, we don't stick our hands to the fences. We always allow them to come to us. Again, like I said before, we never force them to do anything so that we don't give them the opportunity to get angry or irritated.
I find it very interesting that you were talking about, the fact that if they come into contact with something, they usually back down from it. They just don't use that energy because I know when I was working with boa constrictors back in the day, I used to have a small boa breeding business. And I had a lot of people ask me the same sort of thing, like, well, aren't they going to chase after you? Aren't they going to try and attack you? Aren't they going to squeeze this? Aren't they going to do that? And I'm like, honestly, no. Like, these animals are very lazy. It takes a lot of energy to do a lot of those things you're talking about. And they're not going to waste that energy if they know, one, they can't eat the prey. There's no point in killing it. And so I find it interesting that another set of reptiles is very similar in that same sort of mindset. Like, all right, yeah, I'm not going to waste my energy on it.
Yeah, I feel like they're all pretty similar. Sharks are the same way too.
Yep, definitely. But somehow they get this bad image in the media.
Yes, they do.
Well, so unlike dolphins, I don't think it's very common to train a gator how to jump through a hoop or something similar to that. So, what are some of the common behaviors when you do work with the gators and the crocodiles to work on?
So the most common behaviors are husbandry behaviors. A lot of people at other facilities that I've seen do targeting, where they just have them come into contact with some kind of targeting device. I mean, we do other things at Theater of the Sea, but we're definitely doing a lot more than I've seen other facilities doing, because a lot of those facilities are doing, the wrestling, where they drag the alligator to the stage and they show off their big mouth and their teeth and everything. And we just really focus on the training.
Yeah. That's cool. That's cool. I know you said that you've got like a swim away behavior, so they do like a swim around their little pond in there, right?
Yeah, it's called a go swim. So we
Go
basically
swim.
will stand in one station and we tell them the words go swim. And the idea is for them to go around in a big circle around the perimeter of the pool and come back to the original station.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's
That's
a
got to
really
take
cool
a lot
behavior
of
to work
training.
on. Yes, definitely. We've been working on it for months, but it's getting there.
Well, that's awesome. So, in your own opinion, what's your favorite behavior to work on?
So that is actually one of them, because that and another behavior that we've trained called pass the ball, where you pass a ball to them and they literally pass it back to you, just like playing with a dog. And
That's so cool.
the reason those two are my favorite behaviors is because you can really see the wheels turning when you're working on it. You can see them thinking through it. And there's been times where they kind of start to like move the wrong way, or they'll move past the ball and we see them stop. If you give them a chance to, they will think about it and they will kind of start to correct themselves. So that's something that's really cool to watch with them, because it really shows off their intelligence.
That's amazing. I know when you were demonstrating working with both Allie and Piper, it was very cool to kind of see it, just like she said, you could almost see the wheels turning through their eyes, through like they're hesitant to jump right at whatever the answer was for the behavior. It was kind of like, let me make sure I've got this right. I got it. It was cool, very cool. So what kind of training tools do you use when you're working on a behavior?
So we use targets. We can even use the bucket as a tool. We can use it to kind of like bring them back to the right direction sometimes because they are very bucket focused. So if they're going one way and we want them to come the other way, all we have to do is show them the bucket or tap it down on the water, and they'll usually see that and turn back the other way. Another big thing we use with them is the whistle bridge, which actually works really well with them because they really know what it means, and they will come back once they hear the bridge. We've seen it happen in sessions too.
So they must have pretty good hearing, right?
Yes, they have very excellent hearing. They can hear us calling them even when they're under the water.
Wow. Very cool. So, why do you think we should even train gators?
Like I've said before already, to show off their intelligence rather than their power. Like I briefly mentioned before, a lot of facilities that house gators that you will see in Florida love to show off their power. And what I really like to do is show off their intelligence because that's something people don't typically see. People know them as having such small brains, but if you think about it, they've survived since the age of the dinosaurs. So to me, that tells me that's a lot smarter than a lot of other animals.
Definitely. And I mean, it's got to help people to see not only are they powerful, but they're not mindless killing machines. They're super smart. They can pick up on these kinds of behaviors that you're talking about. And it helps build that connection with them. So when they're out in the wild and stuff, they're going to respect them a little more. They're going to throw out fun facts, share it with friends and family. Did you know this alligator likes bubbles?
Yeah, definitely.
That's so cool. Well, how can the training at your facility and the countless of other amazing facilities help their wild counterparts? Like, what can we do to help them?
Well, you actually already said it. It shows people that they're not mindless killing machines, but that they should be respected as the apex predators that they truly are. The way we can help is don't swim in lakes where you see signs warning for alligators, because what happens is a small child or a pet will go in. The alligator is an opportunist, so he'll snag that, whatever goes into their body of water or their territory. And then later they get hunted and killed because of it. So really the best way to help them is don't approach them in the wild and stay out of their bodies of water.
Yeah, definitely. I know we used to have one, ironically named Charlie, at my college campus. And everyone loved him. You could tell he started getting really used to people, though. And I'm sure he was being fed by people because it was right outside the cafeteria. But, he would be hanging out right by the bridge and he never made advances towards anybody. But I remember when they decided they were going to come in and relocate him. And so it was kind of sad to see that, that gator has been there a long time. He was there first. And because people, feed the gators thinking it's cool to see him come up close and everything. And it's unfortunate that happened. Well, I think we're getting close to the end. If our listeners want to follow you and the Gators on social media, where do you think they can go?
So they can go to the Theater of the Sea Facebook or Instagram page, or they can follow my training page, which is on Instagram, Apex Animal Behavior.
Awesome. So I'll attach that for you guys if you want to take a look at those, that'll be on our social media as well. But I think that's all the questions I have for you for now. Did you have anything else you wanted to add before we go?
No, I think we pretty much covered everything.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining me today. It's been an absolute pleasure, and I hope that our listeners enjoyed this episode just as much as I did. Shall we end this with the cheesiest of goodbyes?
See you later, alligator.
In a while, crocodile. Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode with Nelly Rivera. I hope that you enjoyed it. If you did, please leave us a rating or a review, as well as like us on Facebook and Instagram at The Training Tales. As always, if you have any questions or suggestions for us, you can send us a message on either one of those, as well as send us an email at thetrainingtales@gmail.com. That's thetrainingtales@gmail.com. If you are enjoying this podcast, please be sure to share it with your friends and family so that we can continue to bring all the amazing guests we can onto this podcast. Again, thank you so much for joining us today, and we will talk to you again during the next episode. Until then, peace out, everyone.